Today's segment of Sound Balming is brought to you by Jimmy and Mary's Authentic Body Care. I cannot express to you how much we love, love, love their products. Although we use them all year, as the weather gets colder, we need these products even more. The dreaded drop in temperature, the dryness, the itchiness, and the unnecessary flakiness is inevitable. Shea Butter from Jimmy and Mary's Authentic Body Care is the only thing that works for my skin and hair needs. Not only do these products cure my dry skin, the whipped butter goes on smoothly and doesn't leave that uncomfortably thick, sticky residue. Bonus? It smells absolutely amazing. There are so many different scents to choose from too. Not only do they carry skincare products, there are products for authentic living, face, shower, hair and beard, spritzers and perfumes, and bath products. Let me tell you, we cannot even keep the stuff in the studio. The entire production team, as well as all our children, use Jimmy and Mary's product. Jimmy and Mary's take pride in creating quality, handcrafted products from simple ingredients for the entire family. Their products are made for all skin types and are 100% handmade, 100% vegan, and 100% cruelty-free. Skincare is important. Moisture is key, and keeping our skin and hair hydrated is essential. I cannot emphasize how much we trust Jimmy and Mary's for all of our skincare needs. Hurry on up to jimmyandmarys.com and check out their products. Did I mention service is fast and efficient too? Don't forget to mention that you heard about Jimmy and Mary's authentic skincare on Sound Balming. Use the discount code SOUNDBALM20 to get 15% off. That's SOUNDBALM20 for 15% off at Jimmy and Mary's Authentic Skin Care.
Hey everybody, welcome to Sound Balming. I created this show for people who want to experience a radical, life-changing journey through the sounds of my diverse guests. I hope that each sound you hear on this show will strengthen your faith, encourage your dreams, and challenge you to awaken the greatness within you.
Drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We're going to drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We're going to drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We come to drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new values, and a new experience.
Ladies and gentlemen, the star of the show,
Lamar Darnell Shields.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whatever the time of the day is, you're at the right place at the right time with the right person. I'm your host, Dr. Lamar Darnell Shields, the creator of Sound Balming. And my goal with this show is to introduce you to people with ideas that will help you unlock your full potential, like my last guest, the Johnson family. Let me just tell you, if any of you all saw the TV show 8 is Enough, well, they have 8 plus 1, 9 is Enough. And 8 is Enough was a family full of, it was not an African-American family, but the Johnson family is clearly an African-American family that focus on literature, geared towards children of color and families. And they have an amazing book out called Hip Hop Hair. And so I want to thank the Johnson family, all 10 of them, 8 children and 2, and the mom and the dad who was there. They were amazing. And this leads right into our next show, because those students, their children are all homeschooled. And so they're dealing with a different issue as it relates to the pandemic. And what I know as an educator, as you can see, I'm rocking my shirt. I teach because first and foremost, I'm a teacher. But a national education conversation has gotten underway on the impact of COVID-19 on student learning and how schools and districts are responding to the crisis. And in this conversation, we hear from students and we also hear from parents across the globe, and as well as teachers. But whereas educators from across the nation are focusing their efforts on providing an alternative learning experience to students via distance and virtual learning, there are serious concerns regarding educational equity for all students, particularly for students from special populations, low-income, special needs, English learners, students experiencing homelessness, et cetera, during this crisis. Well, to address these concerns, we've invited Dr. Stephen Bond to find out about how COVID-19 is impacting his students. Dr. Stephen Bonds is a social studies teacher at Wilson Preparatory Academy in Wilson, North Carolina. Dr. Bond spoke with his students via email and text messages during the crisis that ended the 2020 school year and discovered many were feeling these emotions. Where Dr. Bond let them know that it was okay to be upset. He encouraged them to come and ask questions and their parents' questions as well. With new questions about the virus, he asked his students to express their feelings because this is what great teachers do. But what started out just as a few emails and just a couple of text messages and conversations led to the publication of A Perseverance in a Strange Land, written by Dr. Bond's students. In this groundbreaking book, we hear students' perspectives on how this pandemic is impacting their present and future educational and social experiences. So we would like to invite my man, Dr. Stephen Bond. He was so well dressed. I'm assuming he's in the school right now because it looks like a school. It hadn't been that long since I've been out. So Brother Bond, welcome to Sound Bombing. Let our listeners know where you are calling in from. And let's just do a COVID check-in. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. I'm right now currently in Wilson Preparatory Academy, Wilson, in between classes, and I'm glad and honored to be on your podcast. And I thank God just for you just, you know, reaching out to me because, you know, just been a time for, and it's been almost a year since our school was closed. March 12th was officially when it was closed. And, you know, today's date is only a week away from being a year. And so I've seen up close kids suffering, not only kids getting COVID, but sometimes their parents or uncles getting COVID. I have some seniors who had to work because their parents didn't have jobs. I also have seniors who were working like at restaurants and other places just so they could make ends meet. And the frustration, I had kids lose jobs and they didn't know where the next meal was coming from. And we as educators, we keep it real. You already know, sometimes we feed our students. You already know, we feed our students, we take care of them. If they need something, they know they can come to us. And, you know, even the weight of anxiety and depression is on them. Sometimes in the Zoom, you can see sometimes the kids don't show their face or they're just depressed because they still have work to do. And one of the reasons why I use that word perseverance, because I saw a student persevere through hard times, through losing family members, you know, and still having to learn and do work. And I was so proud of them. And so even I've had stick kids do journals for years. I've been teaching them for 21 years. And so it was this time after I read the journals, I said, you know what? I think this could be published because people need to hear what kids are feeling, the anxiety, the concern about what's going on, the uncertainty. Oh, we're going to be out. Can God, man, when all this is going on? Oh, we'll be back in March. We'll be back in April. We'll be back in May. So all the things were canceled, proms canceled, graduation rehearsal, award ceremony, you know, one of the students wrote in the journal, you know, you worked 12, 13 years to get to this point where your parents tell you about getting good grades. And now you have the award ceremony. They can't say, oh, you graduated honors. All the accolades that you're used to receiving, the social thing of just the prom, the award ceremony, graduation is now a drive-through. And yes, it's great, but it's not the same. And so I saw that the children, they really were hurting. And this was a place where they could vent about how they felt, about all the emotions. And I'm just so proud of them. And I tell them, because many of them graduate, some are in college now, the ones who are seniors. So I speak to them, I said, you know what? I said, one student like named Brandon Barnes said, listen, you're famous. I said, a lady in England, London, England, read your journal and wrote about it in a blog. And 200 British people read it. And that same day, 50 British people bought your book. So I'm telling my students by names. I said, Adrian, we call him AK. I said, listen, you're on a blog about what you wrote about the aspect of racism. Because one other part, and me and my publisher agreed, while this is going on, the issue of race with George Floyd. And people being at home, you saw more. So people saw George Floyd. Breonna Taylor, and that one didn't open up 2 months later. But we saw the racial issues going on. And I've been a victim of racial issues as well and prejudice, even in the classroom and outside the classroom. And so kids were upset. It was like, and it didn't matter what race. It was like, okay, we saw this man die under police watch. And some people think it's okay. And the great thing was the kids, black, white, Hispanic, didn't matter. They said, wait, what's wrong is wrong. And this generation was like, wow, this got to stop.
Well, man, I applaud you for taking on this task. I, too, did something very similar with the school district that I was working with. I was working with a group of black and Latino boys, and we were talking about issues of race and racism mm-hmm. and implicit bias. And I decided to then not take a pen, but then to take a camera, to bring a camera into the real space, real time, to mm-hmm. engage these young people around these particular issues. So I want to applaud you on doing that. So I want to read an excerpt from the book. Sure. This is from Kaylin. It says, this is March 23rd to March 27th, 2020, which is interesting when we're almost a full year away from that. Mm-hmm. Kaylin said, what's happening in the world right now feels unreal. It's crazy to think that what's happening now could be in history books in years to come. This is day 5 of not having school, and it feels like an unofficial lockdown. I have so many mixed feelings. I would like to see my friends, but then again, there is that fear of being in contact with someone who might have the virus. I'm slowly realizing the things that I take for granted, like going shopping or simply eating out with my family and friends. These are luxuries that I don't know when they'll return. I do like having the feeling of safety in my home with my family. I can't wait to see how all of this end up. So at that time, Kaylin, age 17, she was a 11th grader. Now I'm assuming she's a 12th grader.
Yes.
How is she doing and the other students doing who worked on this project with you?
You know what? When I said, I thank God for the child perseverance, they persevere because Kaylin is actually in my AP American History class. She comes to Zoom every day. And if you ever taught AP or know about AP American History, it's different than a Zoom because it's a vigorous course. You have to know your history down pat. You know, you got the essays that the AP board grade. And so she comes to class every day. She was here for my second period class, has an A in my class. She perseveres. And yes, the normalcies of the graduation where, you know, it's a big thing for getting a cap and gown or having a field trip. Those things are taken away from again this year. But yet they press on. And I've taught Kaylin for 3 straight years. And so with that being said, Matt, her dad is the director of my school. And so the things taken away from the kids is painful. And sometimes, even when you see the facial expressions on the Zoom, you know, you can see the sadness and frustration. And so one thing I do, usually when I go up to Zoom, I say, listen, I'm proud of all of you. I said, because sometimes you hear, I said, listen, no matter what grade you're on this test, I'm proud of you. Because I said, listen, you're taking college courses, advanced placed classes on Zoom. So no, I can't help you one-on-one like I normally would in a classroom setting. And you're still doing well. And so I said, I'm proud of you. I told him, I said, look, you're better than me. I couldn't have passed AP class by Zoom and with no teacher on me one-on-one. I said, you're better than me. I said, you got A's. I probably would have a C or D.
Well, speaking of that, Dr. Bond, what are some things teachers and parents can do to help children cope with the changes resulting from COVID-19?
One, mentally be as positive as possible. One thing I don't do, and I'm not really with a shouting type. I'm energetic, I'm passionate, and my kids know. I'm also a coach, so they know I'm the energetic rah-rah type guy. That's how I am. Because when you said the question about being energetic, I said, "Oh, nah, you ain't got to worry about me energetic." That's just how I am. That's how I even when I teach. Mm-hmm. But the parents got to be positive with the children, and also if they can help them out their work or get someone to help them. But more than anything is mental at this time. The kids more than ever need encouragement. Because sometimes when that Zoom, even as you know, Zoom, sometimes that Zoom meeting ends and they have that rapport, that teacher that they care about and vice versa. When that Zoom ends, they're in that house or wherever they had that class and you don't know what they have to go through. You don't know where they may get their next meal from. You don't know if when that Zoom meeting ends, are they crying? Are they depressed? We don't know. So the one thing I would tell every parent is to be positive with their children first.
Now, there's a huge debate, Dr. Bond, as well, about how much detail should teachers share with students about COVID. So where are you within that spectrum? I know you have older students, but I know mm-hmm. that there's been a debate in particular for younger children, right, as it relates to what or how much detail should teachers share with students about COVID, based on what you all know?
Now, from what I see, I think some you have to limit a little bit to younger. Now, my class is the youngest scholar, I think it's maybe 15 or 16. So something you have to be more real with them, because one, kids on social media, so they're going to find out anyway. You know what I mean? They're going to see the severity of it. They're going to see, for example, okay, vaccinations coming out. They know things going on, even with in the White House and stuff. They know these things. So, but I think with the younger group, you do have to be a little more, not withhold, but you got to be real careful, because young people traumatized. And if my high schools and this book were traumatized emotionally and psychologically by what's happening, imagine a five-year-old kid, you know, five-year-old child, how they're feeling. They're feeling it even worse. It's even more traumatizing to them. So I think sometimes the limit, and another thing I think we should limit too, is how much you see on TV. Because I know even sometimes myself, I get home and the news is on, COVID this, COVID that, COVID. And sometimes, even for my mind, you got to be informed, but sometimes you got to turn the TV off, turn off the social media. Because sometimes you get to the point where it inundates your whole life set. So yes, be careful, but sometimes just for your mind's sake.
So I want to read another excerpt. This is from Levi, age 16. So coronavirus kicked me out of school for 2 weeks. Cool. But I wish it wasn't as dangerous as it is. Although I believe that it's been over-dramatized for profit and news. People are still doing normal things for the most part. And no one's gone sick riding for supplies. In my opinion, we don't need to be scared of this. I do believe that it's good to be safe, though, if we can prevent it. Sick and infection, then let's do that. Dr. Bond, how has COVID affected your students in particular, and the students and your families that you're working with? So well, I just read two excerpts, took it personally. Go ahead.
Right. And even with Levi, what's interesting, you know, in his journal, I remember reading it. One of the things he said he missed was the structure of school. Levi's a very structured young man, and he missed the structure. And as the time went on, he like other sort of seriousness of it, because remember initially, the media kind of downplayed this thing. They did, you know what I mean? And so it was infectious. So people said, oh, well, it's not a big of a deal. It's not a big of a deal. Don't wear a mask. And even where I live in North Carolina, some people had an issue with that. Like, wait, why we gotta wear a mask? They were like, it's my violation of the First Amendment rights. I said, no, it's not. It's about being smart. Don't tell me about the Constitution. I know about the First Amendment. So with that,
how you gonna tell the history teacher? How you gonna debate the history teacher? Come on, I'm not a politician, but I know history. I'm sure that's what you said.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They know, and they don't debate me with that. But I thank God for. So, but I've seen my students suffer. I had one student just this past week that with COVID. You know, the mom told me my son got 103 degree fever. He'll be out for a few days. You know, he came back to Zoom on Monday, and I said to him, son, you know, I'm from New York. Son, I'm glad to see you. And he was like, you know what? It feels good to be back. I miss you. And so those things we go through, where so many kids are getting COVID while they're home or wherever. And we try to do the best for them, because, you know, their families are suffering. My family suffered. I lost three uncles to COVID. Now, two had, you know, pre-existing conditions, like heart issues. But, you know, COVID didn't help, if you know what I mean. So with that being said, I've seen how it affected my family. I see how it affected my student family and parents. And so many times they look sometimes to us sometimes for guidance and just relief. And many times with some of these students, even though just the Zoom is not the classroom setting, sometimes that Zoom time they have is some of the most peaceful times they have while they're at home. Because at least they get a chance to take a break away from what's going on. You know, not just the COVID situation, but some, if their parents lost their job and they're not making ends meet like they were, or some of the seniors who were working and now they lost their job because they worked at a restaurant, they closed up. So I've seen the toll that's taken on the kids and the parents. And it wears them out a little bit. And recently we started having some sporting events, basketball, Mapa Way in the state championship this Saturday, and we have soccer going on. And just some of the normalcies have helped the kids and the parents, like, wow, we got some normalcy, wow, we got sports going on. We're not just staying home all day. And there have been some kids who have been so, like, with anxiety. Somebody had left their house in almost a year. And that puts things in perspective.
So when you approached the kids originally about this project, and I know it started out with a couple of text messages, conversations in class, writing prompts and things like that. When you share with the students, like, hey, we are going to write and publish a book, and then sort of share this with the masses of people. What was their response, you know, and how do they feel now that the book is actually out?
It's amazing, because when it first came out, some kids were excited. It's like, wow, I'm going to be part of a book. And then some kids really didn't realize the dynamics, how big this was. Because, you know, even the publisher had to go through no parental permission, no go through copyright and everything else. And so some like, oh, wow, we're actually part of a book. Like, it really hit them afterwards. And then when they saw the book, they was like, Mom, Dad, Uncle, I'm in a book. And then one day when it reached out to well on Amazon, I showed them on the Amazon list. And a couple of kids was like, Dr. Bond, this mean we're authors? I said, yes, we are authors. And so they were just so excited about that. And when I showed them the excerpt with what the lady wrote, who did the post in London about the book, and had some of them who are now in college, but had a couple of my juniors, like Adrian Land, who's in the book and also on the basketball team, and another guy, Jay Sean Taft. And so when it was read, it was like, wow. It was like, a lady from England actually wrote about our book. I said, they sure did. And so that was a wonderful thing about it, where some of that started off is, in many people's eyes, a small thing became a big thing. And what I told my students, that's why I always tell my students, you know, I want to hear your voice. I do have a rule. I said, listen, it's got to be PG-19. So I said, you know, what you say about mouth and words, you know, when we do little commentaries, mm-hmm. you know, PG-19, no cursing, no, you got to keep it level. And I do even now as an educator, because when we had one Zoom, and it was after with Breonna Taylor, this was back, I think, in September. And they said they were not going to press any charges. Kids came to my Zoom mad. They're like, Bond, it ain't right. And I said, okay, we're going to do the first 20 minutes of class. You know, the private part in Zoom where you could write whatever no one sees but me. I said, listen, take the next 15 minutes of class, write what you feel is on your mind. If you're ticked off, if you're mad, you're disappointed, put it in. And he did that. And so he know how I am as a teacher. One kid looked up and said, I got some history scholars like myself. They was like, Dr. Bond, you realize the same day that they acquitted the people with Breonna Taylor was the same day that Emmett Till trial was same as well? And I was like, yeah, unfortunately, I know. I saw it.
So the title of the book is called Perseverance in a Strange Land. Why did you choose that title? Or is that a title that the students decide to pick? So how did you come to the conclusion to choose that title?
Now, that was a title I chose for two reasons. One, I felt like I saw my students persevering. Like when school was ending and those who could would still give me assignments. They still text me the assignment. Some have a computer email me. However, when they would still give me assignments, I was like, wow, these kids are persevering. And the strange land I got from Psalms 137, you know, about singing a long song in a strange land. And so I said, this is a strange land we're all in, because when all this went down, it was a strange land. Nobody knew what to do. People said they knew what to do, but nobody knew. And so when it first started in February, March, oh, maybe it passed by. And even some leaders were like, oh, it'll be better in April, maybe May. Then the numbers kept going up. Couple of hundred, couple of thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. And so with that being said, this was a strange land, because wait a second, what do you mean restaurants are closed? Like even what Caitlin Wooder wrote, restaurants are closed. We can't go to a restaurant. You know, Sunday after church, whatever, we can't go to a restaurant. We can't play outside. We can't have recess, we can't have school. And so with that being said, the normalcies, as many students said, the normalcies we take for granted, taken away. Oh, let's just go to the mall. We don't have to buy anything, just chill. So the normalcies of life were taken away. And this was a strange land for many people. As educators too, because you know, those teachers who love their kids, we need our kids too. We're like, hey, what's up going on? When the kids do well, they know I'm giving them a high five. You know, they know I bring the passion, the energy. Mm-hmm. I'm a pull for them. You know, when they were getting their college acceptance letters, you know, the big celebration, I'm like, you know, son, daughter, I'm proud of you. So it was a strange land, kid. It was all gone.
So there's a huge debate right now about where schools should be. Should schools open fully? Should schools slowly open? You know, should it be a hybrid model? Where are you as it relates to education, as it relates to as we're dealing with this pandemic? Because again, what we're learning about this country, and we've known this for a very long time. That's why I love wearing my shirt when I'm out, this I teach shirt to bring this attention and awareness. Teachers are not a priority when you talk about, you know, giving them the access to this vaccine if they want to take it. So they're not a priority. And that's always been an issue as it relates to being an educator. So where are you as it relates to opening schools up? How do you feel that they should open? And then how is your district responding to what's happening with COVID?
Well, us being a charter school, move a little slowly. We will start probably having scholars around March 15th.
Okay.
And just for any school, public, private, charter, I think, you know, proceed with caution. Is it necessary? Do kids miss it? Yes. But the concern you have to have is, one, the educators and the kids, because, you know, all it takes for one person infected and it can happen. And it could, you know, be a chain reaction. So it's something we have to proceed with caution with. You know, unfortunately, school may not be the same for a while, you know, wearing a mask or two. And so with that being said, you know, we do have to proceed with caution because, you know, sometimes, you know, teachers, we probably have one of the most unsung professions. We love most teachers. We love we do. But we are kind of unsung when it comes to those things. But lives are at stake here, and also children. And so with that being said, you know, we got to be cautious. And even though you're going to bring kids back, make sure, obviously, charter school is going to be do temperature checks and things like that. Have to show some integrity. If a person knows they have it, don't bring kids to school. You know what I'm saying? If a teacher know they have it, they shouldn't be working. You know what I mean?
I agree. You know, teachers been traveling all over the globe, man. And some of them should not be putting this stuff on social media, even though they can travel all over. But some folks are just turning up, as the young people say, too much. So you work with these students. You wrote this book. You also heard some of the personal challenges that they have, physical challenges, financial challenges. What type of supports did you or did the school provide for your students? Because now your students are explaining to you what their issues are because of COVID. Did the school put anything, any supports in place to support these young people? Not just a part of your the people that were part of the book, but the students that are at your school. And if so, what are some of the supports that they put in place? And what supports should school districts put in place to support the level of high anxiety that young people are faced with today?
Well, I think the one thing is emotional support, and the teachers I work with, we do a great job. But one, we do assure the parents and scholars and students of being calm and stuff. So I think we do a good job at, because I think first and foremost, it's the emotional aspect that's the most important right now. And even when it comes to providing for students and financial stuff, we've done that as well. I mean, those know me real well. I've taken money from my own pocket to feed the scholar. You know, did it before COVID. Done afterwards, you know, because when you're a teacher, we know, and the kids that report you, they know who cares. They know, okay, well, Dr. Bond, I haven't eaten. You know, if I ask him for $5, he ain't gonna say nothing, but I'm hungry. So they know which teachers they can depend on. And they may not say to everybody, but they appreciate it. And so I think first and foremost, the emotional part where, and I think the teachers, we do a great job. We encourage the kids. We try to keep it positive possible in the Zoom. And so that emotional part, even with the parents, we do, I think, cover really well. And I said, the financial thing with those who need it, we have drawn out and try to help those in need. And, you know, there's also church organizations out here who have passed out food and other things. And so put it this way, I think for the most part, most of the schools and educators are doing the best we can.
Well, speaking of appreciation, man, I appreciate you not only for just writing this book with your students. I appreciate you for just being sharp, brother, in a pandemic. The brother got the bow tie, rocking the blazer in between classes. I know what it's like in between classes. I'm like, did you finish your lesson plan for the next class? Because that's the educator in me as an administrator. Like, are you ready for the next? You know, when you got all the other preps.
My 7 econ class got a test on supply and demand.
So, you know, they probably like, I hope whatever interview he's doing, I hope he keeps him in there longer than he should be. When I was teaching, my students knew they would come up with a debate. There'll be a debate in the media about music or culture or anything. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, kids are, while we're planning at home, they're planning also. Like, right. All right, we're going to get Mr. Shields to talk about this issue in the media. And I'm like, I'll go, and I'm looking at the clock. I said, we can keep talking, but you know you have a test, right?
So I do the same thing.
But I'm going to still give you the same amount. So we can keep talking about this issue, But I'm looking at the clock, but we still gonna finish this test.
Yes, sir.
So we appreciate you for what you're doing. And you know, and I want to get ready to wrap up for this section, but you open up the book with a quote from John Lewis where it says, every generation leaves behind a legacy. What that legacy will be is determined by the people of that generation. What legacy do you want to leave behind? With what the great Congressman John Lewis said, I want to throw that question to you. What legacy do you want to leave behind? Not just you as an educator, but what's the legacy that you want to leave behind with the production of this book that you and your students put together?
The legacy I want to leave behind is that kids' voices, young people's voices need to be heard, because we can learn something from the children, because the concern that they had, even with Levi, when he saw what was really happening, like, wait, this is serious. At first he thought it wasn't, but he saw it serious. We could learn from the young people when things are urgent. Also, even when it came to race and other things, I feel this generation is more, I know people love using the word woke, but I think people, the young people, more fair. In other words, they will call things out. If they see racism, they're not going to try to hide and pick the fuck. They'll say, no, that's racist. It's wrong. They'll say, wait, what happened to the Capitol? Wait. That was black people, what would have happened? You know, they're going to say what's on their mind. And so the legacy I really feel this book will have is that, and I believe it's going to happen, I think it's happened already, more young people going to be able to voice their opinions, and it's going to be published, because I remember saying it before, 5, 10, 15 years from now, people are going to read this and say, wow, it was like that during COVID, just like 100 years ago, the flu pandemic, 1918 to 1921, this is what it was like. And so they'll see it from here. And so the legacy I believe this book will have is that people are going, and educators are going to allow young people to be heard more. Because my thing is, sometimes teachers say they want to hear the young people talk. Some say it, some don't mean it. For me, when I say I tell you, I want you to tell like it is. And some teachers get, like, even the thing with Dr. Seuss the other day, I said, well, how do you feel about Dr. Seuss being banned? And I said, listen, in my day, they had a racist cartoon with Tom and Jerry.
Come on.
I said, even a Popeye and stuff. So I already knew about this, but it was like, wow.
Yeah, we can ban books, we can ban movies, but if the mindset is there, that's not going to change. So it's not about what's in the book. It's not about what we're seeing on TV. And you and I know the power of images. We know the propaganda of other cultures and countries that our country used when it came to war. So we get that. So it's not about banning those things. It's about banning the negativity that's coming through your mind.
Exactly.
So Brother Bond, I want to thank you and the amazing students from your school for writing this book. You know, shout out to all the staff at Wilson Preparatory Academy. But before you leave, the second part of the show is called the Super Bomb Questions. And this is brought to you by Mountain Made. These are some different questions. These are some questions I need you to respond to as quickly as possible. But brother, you already sharp. You already ready. And basically, your students want me to hold you a little longer so they don't have to take that test. No.
Oh, no. They're going to take it.
Let's get down to it. So you ready?
Yes.
All right. So here we go. What's your favorite word?
Perseverance.
What's your favorite quote, or maybe a Bible verse or a lyric to a song?
Freedom has never been free, Mecca Evers, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Those are two of my favorites.
What's your superpower?
Being persistent.
What's your spirit animal?
A tiger.
What moves you to tears of joy?
Think about my parents that are no longer here.
What moves you to tears of sorrow?
Miss my twin sister who passed last year. Give me a second. Yeah, I put my charger on. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. All right. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Go ahead.
What do you wish you had more time to do?
Write more.
What is the book or books you've given most as a gift, and why?
The Bible, because it's profound.
What guides your heart?
Say it again, I'm sorry.
What guides your heart?
Love.
What's your morning ritual and routine? After you do all the biological stuff, what's your morning ritual and routine?
I do short prayer in my closet and pray and get ready to drive. And I get my cup of coffee each day.
If Dr. Bond was in the Mr. America talent competition, what would your talent be?
A historian, history nerd.
Well, man, Brother Stephen Bond, I want to thank you for hanging out with me today on Sound Bombing. Send my love and blessings to your students. It's been an honor hanging out with you, and the legacy is strong because you're pushing it through young people. And like my mentor said, Dr., my mentor, Congressman Elijah Cummings, says, he says, students are not the future, they are the present. And we're also preparing them for a future that we would never see. So I appreciate you hanging out with me today.
I appreciate you too, Doc. Thank you.
And I also want to thank my amazing engineer, Alexander Blanc, my super duper producer, Nicole Klimpakis, Supremacy for our theme music, and all of you for listening. If you want to know more about me, go to drdrlds.com. If you want to pick up our shirt, all of our shirts about Ubuntu and about I wear, I teach, I love, I pray, you can go to my website to do that. But listen, this show is about you. It's about you. Thank you for tuning in, and stop being stingy and share me with all of your friends. We're on every media social media platform. And as always, believe that something wonderful is about to happen. But some people miss the message because they're too busy looking for the mess. But not you, because you've been listening to Sound Bombing. Peace.
The Super Bomb Questions are brought to you by Mountain Made CBD. Mountain Made is changing the CBD game by offering a line of high-dose CBD tablets at an affordable price. Their products are THC-free and third-party tested for accuracy, cleanliness, and potency. Their products, which ship nationwide, include Build for CBD saturation, Boost for precision titration, and Recover for rest and rehab. With 9 years experience in hemp and fitness, Mountain Made's founders are focused on creating a quality product to help those who live an activated lifestyle. Check out mountainmade.life. Again, that's mountainmade.life to find out more about how their products can help you crush life. Remember, their products ship nationwide. Go check out their website today and follow them on social media at Mountain Made. That's the @ MNTMADE. Our staff at Sound Bombing uses Build before a morning workout, which helps to push our bodies to a whole new level on a daily basis. Try Build, try Boost, try Recover. Our staff is using these products to enhance our active lifestyle naturally, and we are crushing life with Mountain Made CBD. And you can too. Start today by going to mountainmade.life and ordering Build, Boost, Recover, or the multitude of other products that they have which will enhance your lifestyle. I promise you, you won't regret it.